Welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got?
Baptism is a powerful next step for anyone who has decided to follow Jesus. It is a public declaration that your old life is gone and you're living new in Christ. It's through baptism that we share in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you have decided to follow Jesus but have not been baptized, now's the time. Scan the QR code to sign up, and we can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey everyone, Pastors Randy and Nicole here, and we want to personally invite you to our Christmas Eve candlelight service.
Christmas is a time for family and friends. It's a joyous time. It's a time of reflection and remembrance. So come on out, because we want to celebrate with you and remember that Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen. Now our service times will be 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. So bring your friends, your family. If you don't have family, we will be your family. That's December the 24th. We hope to see you then, and Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
So today for a good news spotlight, I wanted to read something off a praise card that we received here at the church. It says this: my lower back had been hurting and stiff daily for the last year, and I had to use medicine every day and cream to get any comfort. But I came to the healing night and was prayed over. Since then, I have no pain. And it even goes a step further to say this: I played many rounds of golf, softball games, drove thousands of miles, and have had 3 flights with zero pain, zero stiffness, and zero medicine. Only believe, we serve a miracle working God who still does miracles today. So if that is you and you are in pain today, I encourage you, come down to one of our prayer team members and let them pray over you, because God wants you healed just like he did for another.
An invite card could change someone's eternity. Here at Only Believe, we put out invite cards on the pews and set them out in the lobby. And they're an easy way to reach and invite someone to church who might need hope, community, or a fresh start. So be praying about who God would lead you to invite to our next service.
And as always, for more information on anything and everything we have going on here, Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all the information there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Good morning, those of you, I'm just saying, those who came out in the snow, amen. And for those of you that are not, you're live streaming, and we're glad you're with us too. It started last night. Lexi and I traipsed through from the Green, the mall that's outside. Like, why in the world do we go to a mall that's outside? I don't understand when it's snowing and all the stuff we did, but it was hilarious. We came back through, I don't know, between 3:30 maybe and 4:30, and as we come through, we're passing all these cars, and we notice they're kind of looking at us weird, and I'm like, Lex, do we look weird? And she's like, no, I don't think so. And all of a sudden, I look at the side of our car when we get home, and we're just one sheet of ice. The entire car. Other cars are like clean, but we've been in when it was raining and snowing, and then it came down to rain and snow again, so our whole car was one sheet of ice. I opened the door and ice fell to the garage floor, and I went, oh, they thought we were from Canada with an Ohio license plate. But it was fun. We like to dash through the snow when it snows. So, but thanks for coming out today to hear the word. We were going to be here no matter what, so that there was something that people could hear this morning, even from the comfort of their home. So let's go ahead and just lift our hands up to Jesus this morning. I just felt his presence in here during the worship service. And I'm just telling you that there's people that have come with needs today, whether it be health, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, whether it be financial. I was down here, I felt the hopelessness of a mother's heart towards one of her children. I don't know if that's you today, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit works for all of us here today. Father, we thank you. We just come before you today, and Lord, we thank you that you are in our midst. God, we just humble ourselves before you today. And Father, we say thank you. Thank you for all the things you've done in our lives. Thank you that you see what we have need of even before we ask. Encourage our faith. Lift up our downcast soul today, Father. Lift it up, Father. Let us see the faith in the story. Let us see the light of the world that came for you and I. In Jesus' name we pray. The scripture that comes to my mind over and over and over today for you, church, is forget not all his benefits. Forget him not. Whatever it is you have need of, whatever it is, he is here to meet that need. Amen? Amen? Amen. God, we give you this service and we just ask you to bless it, touch it, move through me, Father, and do what you have me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You're not here by chance today. I'm going to tell you that straight up. I had this wrote on Thursday, and I heard the Lord specifically say, tell them you're not here by chance, you're not sitting to the person that you're sitting next to by chance, but that God's ordered this day, and he knew who would be here in these seats. He knew he would be watching on live stream or YouTube or social media, whatever that is today. He knew that you would be tuning into this message. I'll get to later why I'm going to say that. We're into week two of our series called Light of the World, and obviously it's our Christmas series, but last week we laid some groundwork about light versus darkness. Light meaning it was an illumination, a making things visible that were not, knowledge or enlightenment, a brightness that exposes things. That could be right or wrong things, but it exposes. Darkness means an absence of light. It's an inability to see. You're unable to see from this dark space anything else other than what you're in right there. It's a place of gloom and disparity, a place without hope. It represents evil, wickedness, and sin, or a lacking of knowledge or an awareness of the light. We landed firmly in John 8:12, and it's where Jesus himself says these words, I am the light of the world. I am. Whoever follows me will never, not sometimes, will never walk in darkness, but will have or possess the light of life. I put this in your mind right now this morning because there's a lot of you out there that are facing really traumatic things in your life. You're fighting real life struggles. I'm not talking about, my washer's making a noise and it won't work every single day of the week. I'm talking real life struggles. You've inherited loss that you didn't ask for this year. You've gone through some sickness. You've gone through some trial. You know people that are going through sickness and trial. You're watching people you love possibly suffer through the trial. And what I'm here to remind you of today is that the light of the world came that you might have the light of life. Life and have it more abundantly. Not just life. Oh, I'm alive. I'm breathing today. But life. Abundantly, above anything you can think or imagine. That's the beauty of who Christ is. It doesn't just stop at salvation. It's much more than just salvation for you and I. But there's something about this scripture that we just passed over real quickly last week, and no matter what way I tried to route this message, I couldn't get past it. So I'm going to give you this little disclaimer up front. This might not be your happy Christmas message. But I know that it's Holy Spirit led. And I know if the Holy Spirit's leading it, then at the end of it, it will make our hearts happy. But most of all, that we will please him and make his heart happy. Amen? That's all that matters here. So it says, he being Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, the light, there is no other source of spiritual truth other than him. He said, I am. I am that. Doesn't matter what the world would tell you. He is Jesus, the only, the Alpha, the Omega. No other way to get past, around, through, above, below. You cannot get through to God without Jesus. That's it. End of story. He is the light of the world, okay? Just let's put that out there. He's the only spiritual truth. Hear this. He's the only spiritual truth. There's no mind over matter. There's no, oh, just think it and it is. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual enlightenment. He is the only truth that leads to eternity. He's the only hope for you and I. Now, let's not get this confused, because this is what it said. It said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. It doesn't say whoever goes to church on a Sunday. Doesn't say whoever's a good moral person and doesn't do anything bad to people, respects others, show up to work on time. They're just good people. That's not what it says. It doesn't even say those people that hear of me, those people that learn of me. It said, follow me. What does that mean? So I looked it up. I'm like, Lord, I know what the word follow means. Duh. Follow the leader, da-da-da-da-da. Like, follow, just follow what he does, right? But it's not, it says, it means to get on the same road as someone's on and go the same way. Now, I've seen this happen before. Someone get on the interstate on an off-ramp. Honest to goodness, I saw it in Cridersville. You know, that kind of gets a little wonky right there. If you're on the wrong one, you're coming down the wrong way. You don't know you're on the wrong way until someone's coming off and you're like, oh! The lady is literally trying to do a U-turn in the middle of the exit ramp, trying to get on the interstate. It was awful. But if you were, can you imagine doing your life on the interstate the opposite way of which traffic was going? An officer pulls you over and you're like, patrolman, no, I'm good, man. I'm not hurting nobody. I'm just going the way. He's like, no, this is not the way you drive on the interstate. Who gave you your license? He's like, I didn't know to be on this road, you got to obey the laws. He would put you in his cruiser and drive you straight to the hospital. And I don't know what floor you would be on, but I don't think it would be a good one. They're not letting you out for a while. Because that's not conscious thinking. That's not the right way of thinking. Yet we have people on the road going the opposite way saying, I'm following Jesus. But the Bible tells us that that's not the way it goes. That if you follow Jesus, follow the road signs, get on the road and go the same way that Jesus is going. If you do that, then you will never walk in darkness. Never walk in darkness as long as you follow the leader. And Jesus is our leader. Following Jesus means that we acknowledge not only is he the only way, the only truth, the only source to get to heaven, but it means you got to get on the road. You don't just get to get in a pew. Hear me out. You don't just get to come and hear the word and do nothing with what you hear. You got to get on the road and go. You have to do something and follow after Christ. And if you don't, you're just on the road and not in the same way. It's like you got the faux out, but you didn't get the low. Follow. You got the faux out, but not the low. You got to follow. Does that make sense to you today? But it means that we have to do something, because it's on that road that the road signs are illuminated and you know which way to go. You know, there's a generation of some kids out there that say, I don't know my purpose. I don't know my purpose. I don't know my purpose. Let me tell you something. You don't have to know your purpose to get on the road and follow. There's multiple lanes on the highway of God, but fear will keep you on the on-ramp. Fear of not knowing where the destination is going. Here's what I can tell you. I don't know if I-75 goes north, south, east, or west. What I know is if I want to go that way, I have to get on I-75. I'm assuming it goes north, south. I don't know where it ends. I am very directionally challenged. But what I know is that there's more than one ways to get where I'm going than just I-75. But what I have to do to get to where I'm going is get on the road. Get in a lane. It doesn't matter what lane you're in because there's exits all over. And if you get on the wrong road, you just get off at the next exit, go around and get back on the road again. But if you never get on the road, you'll never know if you're even in the right place of time. And before you know it, you're like, well, it's 15 years gone by and I'm still not on the road. I still don't know my purpose. Now you're a 55-year-old human walking around saying, I still don't know my purpose. Because you won't get on the road. Sometimes you have to get on the highway of God because that's when the light comes. The light comes when you take the step of faith to say, God, I trust you. I don't know where this struggle is taking me. I don't know what this journey of life is looking like right now. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times that the journey is a little volatile and it feels unsure and it feels unsteady and it might be dark and there might not be those lights along the highway ever so often. You know, they only put those in the big cities, but then you get out to nowhere. It's just pitch black. And if you don't have lights on your car, if you don't have the light of the world living inside of you, you don't even know where you're going. But what I'm telling you is that with that light inside of you, there is direction, there is clarity, there is protection within that light. But you have to be willing to step into and get on the road with the light. And you got to trust it. And sometimes it means that I might not see fully what I need to do. But what I know is that he's not going to fail me. He's never failed me. He's not going to let me down. And his word is true. He sent his word and healed all their disease. What does that mean? All of my disease, all spiritual disease, not being able to see, all emotional disease, any hurt in my life, God's taken care of and given me a freedom from. Why? So that I can walk into freedom and help others walk to freedom. Why? That emotional, that physical disease. You know what? We don't have to die with sickness in our body. We don't have to die with the struggle. God's went before us and took all of that from us. Financial disease, marital disease, children disease. He came to give us life, the light of life. Get on the road and follow the leader. Even when there's times that you're not sure. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter. I'm going to let scripture do a lot of talking today. I'm going to be honest with you. I asked God multiple times, are you sure? You know it's bad when the caption on your chapter is, the day is near. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. By the way, this is not talking to people that do not know Jesus. This is talking to Christians who need to put off deeds of darkness. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your flesh. I told you this wasn't shaping into a good, joyful Christmas message, but what I know is it's going to get a little stronger and it'll be sweet in the end, trust me. Church, we're being called out by the apostle here, and we're being called out of the deeds of darkness and into the deeds of light. Of the light. And why is he doing this? Because he knows that we are now children of the light and we're supposed to act like it. Therefore, we're to live by the Spirit, no longer gratifying the deeds of our flesh. That the time is short, short, and the Lord's return is closer than it could ever be. Do you realize that there was a time thousands of years ago where they were awaiting the birth of Jesus, that a Savior would come? Awaiting just like today. just a normal day, like today. And all of a sudden, boom, everything they had been waiting for 400 plus years, there's silence. Then there's a light, it shines, it comes, and then there's a lady that has a baby, and everyone's talking that this is the Son of God. The Messiah's come. He's come to save, he's come to rescue, he's come to deliver. He's come to take our mourning and turn it into joy. He's giving us oil of joy. Joy for this morning. And he's taking all of our ashes of this world and turning them into beauty. What is that? I'm going to take everything that's happening that's bad and I'm going to turn it out for my good. I'm going to take that fire. I'm going to take that what was meant to burn you, which was meant to scorch you, which was meant to kill you and your family, which was meant to kill your faith. I'm going to take it and it's going to refine your faith, and your faith is going to be bigger and stronger than it's ever been before, because what the devil meant for bad, for everyone who's called according to my purpose, it's going to do you good. 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 And you, and you, and you. This is what the Savior did. But now we're not awaiting the Savior. We have the Savior. We're awaiting his return. What if it's this Christmas? What if it's tomorrow? What if it's next week? What if it's like the greatest gift that was given to us on Christmas Eve when Lacey Mae was born, our first grandbaby? What if it was like that? I'm like, Lord, are you really sure for real? We're going to get a baby on Christmas Eve? Yep, right on Christmas Eve. And guess what? The kids, they let them out early. They got to be home for the Christmas party at 11. What in the world? It was the best feeling in the world. But what if, church, this long-awaited season of us being the church, doing what God's wanted us to do. What if the time is so short that it's upon us, and before the new year, he returns and comes to get his church? Would we be ready? Would we be in darkness, partially? And here, let me show you. This is the musicians, by the way. As a musician, as a background vocal, you don't know this. There's a little black piece of tape here. You want to know why that tape's there? Because the center of that light right here is right here. Not so that she can be or he be in the light, but so you can see them. And they're not over here in the dark. But this is how some of us live. Hi, it's Sunday. Hi. You know what? I can't stand that stupid song. Every time they play it, you'd think that band lost their mind. They sing it for 10 minutes. We do that bridge one more time. Oh, I go to such a pretty church. Have you seen the beautiful lights and lanterns? Johnny, I'll tell you what. You get your rear end over here and get your toys picked up. Oh, yeah, being a mother's so hard these days. We're not called to be in the dark and the light. We're called to be in the light. And God's calling us out of the dark and calling you into something greater. But into something greater means you have to follow greater. You have to follow the leader. If his arm goes up, so does yours. If his arm goes down, so does yours. If his heart beats for the man that stinks on the corner, then so does yours. You get that? One of the worst things I've ever heard is someone say, make him take a shower. I said, you know what? Can you just love him in the place he is? Because when you accept him as they are, God will do the rest. We are meant to fish for people. You bring them in and God does the cleaning, not you. You don't get to get out your scalpel and start tearing people apart to scrape their scales off. That's not our part. That's the Lord's work. You want to know why? Because he's got a magic knife. His knife is gentle and easy. And I just picture in my mind that he doesn't use, you know, like shaving cream, ladies. Men, he uses that shave oil. That real slick stuff, so it just glides across your body. And by the time you're done, you don't even know you've been scaled. He's like, look at that, and look how clean it is. It's clean as a whistle. Because when God does the work, it's so much better than the work that man can do. Do you want someone taking something and ripping it out of your life? Or would you rather the Holy Spirit, the great and mighty physician, to just say, you know what, you just lay down. During worship next Sunday, you just surrender your life to me. And I'm going to reach down in there and I'm going to take out that bad part. I'm going to do it. My grace is going to do it. See, you've tried to be better. You've tried to not sin in that area anymore. You've tried to stop cussing. You've tried to stop getting angry. But you know what? If you'll just surrender your life to me, I've got a scalpel. And it's the work of the Spirit. And I'll come in. And when you least expect it, I'll reach right down inside of you and I'll do a supernatural surgery. It's like a laser. It doesn't even have any blood. It doesn't have any pain afterwards. What it is you just know you're different. And the next time something comes to make you angry, well, Randy says it can't make you angry. You get angry over the situation that happens. You're at peace. And you're like, I don't know why that's not bothering me. But I've been redeemed. I've been saved. And the work of the physician has been working on me. Church, it's time. It's time that you and I stop living partially in the light, partially in the road. It's like we got two tires of our car on the road. We're riding wheelies up here because we're partying at night. You be smoking during the day. You're sharing all this sinner. And then you're like, oh, but it's Sunday. So woo. And then you put them down for a while. And then you pick them back up and you go crazy again. Live in the light. All of the light. David and I were talking the other day, and David's been Pastor Dave in my life for so long because he was the children's church pastor. But when Dave and I were talking, he just has such a pastor's heart. And sometimes it's good just to get to sit and just talk with David, pastor to pastor. And when I left there, David said something and it really challenged my heart. He said, Pastor Nicole, I don't want to get to heaven. And God look at me and say, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You did miracles in my name. And you casted out devils. But I don't know you. And it just started something churning. And churning and churning. And then God started leading me through something. And I don't know, maybe you're not aware of this group of people that was called the Pharisees. They were in the Bible. And this is not in my message. It was for a whole nother day. But it just is where we're leading. We're going to go with it. The Pharisees had an idea of God. They followed these laws to the letter. To the letter. On the outside, they cared what people thought about them and the way they looked. And all of their actions were judged according to the way they did things on the outside. But on the inside, their heart had grown dark. And it was full of darkness. It wasn't Christ inside of their light. In fact, they were the ones that were challenging Christ and everything that he stood for. Like, you're eating with sinners. And he's like, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. What does that mean? Are you saying that I'm sick and that's why you came to save me? No, it means anyone who could see their need for him would receive him. Some of us have seen our need for Jesus and we receive him, but that's it. And we step out of the light. Someone in my family's sick, so I need you. Oh, I can't pay my rent. See me? I surrender. That's not what God's asking for. God's asking for all of it. See, the Pharisees were cleaning the outside of the cup. They cared about the dirt on the outside, but even what they were drinking from the inside was filled with darkness, greed, lust, sinful behavior. And all they could do was to point their finger at everyone else rather than the other three that are pointing back at them. It said that they swallowed camels. Now, I just want you to have a picture of that moment. I don't even know that I could get on a camel's back from up here. Literally. Swallowing camels. And you know how many bugs you've probably ate in your life? There's a whole big study out about this. I didn't have the heart to Google it because I thought I'd get all crazy, but I'm telling you, I know I've ate bugs in my life. Because you get that like that, it's a gnat, gone that fast. And if all you men on a mower and women, you know you've ate a bug. My point is, you know what that's really about? It's saying that you'll allow the biggest things that shouldn't be a problem. You will swallow them like nothing. Doctrinal issues. All these other observances that not are being done. But yet, you will talk and say your straps around your robe are not the right length. And that's that's it. You've broken the law. Meaning, you might not like that some people wear jeans to church. But it doesn't matter to Christ. Because the Bible said that I look on the inward part of man, not on the outward part. I don't care if those kids wear jeans or they don't. What I care is that the jeans that they wear are modest. Because the Bible said, dress in modesty. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, the whole level of modesty is a whole nother level. What is modesty to you? I don't know. Modesty to me, when I preach, is a little bit more than when I shop at Walmart. Why? Because I'm not flailing my hands and moving my body everywhere at Walmart. At the gym, it's a different modesty than it is everywhere else. Why? Because at the gym, you need to see certain muscles to make sure you're working them right. So I'm not wearing a big sloppy shirt at the gym. Although the gym has not seen me in an awful long time. And do you know Planet Fitness? You can't Planet Fatness. That's what I call it because that's where all the people who are out of shape go to, including myself. But I'm not going. And they're getting $10 a month out of my checkbook. I'm probably not allowed to even say this. Oh, well, they'll take it off YouTube. Do you know you have to go into the store to get your membership canceled? Can't do it online because that would be too easy. I can sign up online. I can pay other dues online. I can upgrade online. But I can't get off of that app online. So I got to go in. You know how many months I've been trying to get in there? They made $30 more for me. They are brilliant. Sidetrack. The point is, we don't cohabitate any longer with the opposite sex. Did you hear that? We don't have friends with sexual benefits. We don't go to crazy parties at night and drink and stay out till late in the morning and get drunk. Do you know why? Because that is the darkness. We don't. You ready for this? Those are easy ones for a lot of us Christians that have been 40 plus Christians. We're like, oh, we don't do that stuff no more. What about strife and envy? What about jealousy? When's the last time you argued with somebody over something that didn't even matter so that you could be right? These are the things that the enemy's doing to us to keep us in the dark. Because he knows that when you live partially in the dark and when you live partially in the light, that all you're doing is being a hypocrite. Yep, I said that in church. You want to know why? Because it should be talked about in church. Because in the Bible, that's what God called, that's what Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said. He said, you hypocrites, you blind guides. You're blind. You want to know why? Because darkness had covered their eyes and they thought they were doing what was right because they were going through the motions. But when I looked up the word hypocrite, you want to know what it means? You actors. You're simply acting a part. You're playing a character that you really are not. Your heart isn't any of that. You're really filled with wickedness and evil and hate for my people. But you put heavy loads on them. But you won't walk the line. You won't do what you ask them to do because it's so burdensome. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? because Jesus don't expect you to carry it by yourself like the Pharisees did. They're watching you carry the load. Like, yeah, a little faster. Go on, put another couple more laws on there. By the way, don't do this or do that or do this, you know, because there's, you know, you're just such a loser. And God's Jesus is like, no, I'll help you carry the load. Because when you are weak, that's when I get to shine. This is when I get to get the glory. This is when people look at your situation and say, I don't know how in the world they're doing that. I don't know how they're going through something else. I don't know how in the world that much could happen to somebody in 2025 and them still be worshiping God. Them still be giving the thanks in the moment of adversity like that. That's who God is for us. Because in our weakness, He is made strong. Church, we have to clean up our acts. And I'm not talking just drunkenness. I'm talking that we got to really get the searchlight out. I'm talking, Holy Spirit, here am I. Anything in me, get rid of so you can be exalted. Anything. Doesn't matter what it costs me. It doesn't matter that I have to look up 312 scriptures, every single scripture on this subject, and know what the word says about it, because He sent His word and healed their disease. In order to know Jesus, you must know His word. In order to know Him, you must know what He says. That's not legalistic. That's not pharisaical view. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. There's something wrong with knowledge without the grace of God in order to apply it. That grace, I'm going to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Take off the darkness and put on Jesus Christ. Is that not what it said? Put on Jesus Christ. Some of us in the morning are going to need to not forget to put Him on when we leave the house. But one day you're going to realize that He just stays on. You don't take Him off any longer and hang Him up. You live in Him. You walk in Him. You walk with Him. You walk to Him, through Him, around Him, by Him, with Him. He is in you. And now all of a sudden, follow the leader becomes easy. Follow the leader, follow the leader. I think that's an exercise thing we do on vacation, isn't it? Yeah, see, I'm thinking about vacation. That's what this is. See, I exercise in the pool, but I don't have to pay for that membership. Just want everybody to know that. Let's go to another scripture. We're going to go, I know. Can you tell my mind's going crazy? It's good, though. There's some of us that are still dealing with really harsh sins. Let me just remind you that the closer you get to the light, the lesser those sin will be. I said it last week, but did you hear what I said? Some of us don't have a sin problem. We have an in the light problem. When you get in the light, it chases away the darkness. But when you're fearful to get in the light because you know you've done wrong, when you're fearful to step into that, then everything that happens in this dark place is bad. It just gets worse. Your situation doesn't get better because you live in the dark. Because knowing that you come to the light, everyone around you is going to see the exposed sin in your life. Listen, I don't care what everyone else thinks. What I know is that to be present from, absent from Him is to not have His light and to have darkness, hopelessness, loss of everything in my life, but to be in the light and be completely naked and be completely vulnerable to everyone else is worth it all to be with Jesus. And if it's not, it's because do you really want Jesus? Church, I'm talking about a faith that doesn't want Jesus because your parents wanted Jesus. I'm talking about a faith that wants Jesus because you can't live without Him. I love Jesus because my parents brought me up in the way I should go. And I'm so grateful for that. Believe it or not, I'm not a pastor because my dad died and it just defaulted to me. I'm your pastor because God called me to be. He just didn't tell me till really late in life because He knew if I knew, I would run. I'm being real. He knew. He knew I didn't have what it took in my own physical being. But in the spirit he had called me to be, he said, she's everything I need. If I can just get her to live in the light, 100%, it won't matter what happens as long as she stays in the light. There's a song that we sing. It says, come what may, doesn't matter. Come what may, as long as I live in the light, there is nothing that I cannot walk through with my Father. Nothing. He took my price. He paid it all. And when I've come to the end of myself, that's when he guarantees that he will step in and take over. If you're taking notes, I'm going to ask you to write down these three scriptures because I'm not going to be able to go through them, but I want you to read them. Ephesians 4:18 through 24. And I want you to write down Ephesians 5:3 through 14. I'm going to finish my message out of John, the 12th chapter, the 35th verse. And I'm going to reference it because the first part talks about having Jesus for a little while. But at the end it says that he that walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Psalms 119, 105 says he is a lamp unto my feet. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus, the word, was with God. Remember, Jesus is the word, but he's also the logos word, the written word, but there's a rhema word, the spirit of the living God in you and I. Church, there is nothing you cannot walk through with Jesus. Nothing. I'm listening to the song this morning that said, let all the redeemed prophesy and sing. I can hear the wind blowing, blowing. Move upon our praise. Sons and daughters sing. I can hear the wind blowing, blowing. We are in situations today in our lives that you have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, and that if the redeemed will open their mouth, step in the light, make sure there's nothing inside of you that is hidden, and prophesy the end differently than what you have, you'll have it. But if the enemy can keep you, this is where he wants you to be. He wants to keep you in the place that you feel like you don't deserve to be in the light. You don't deserve what God's benefits fully are because you live partially in the dark and partially in the light. Step into the light. Who cares? We've all been there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's gossip. It doesn't matter if it's murder. It doesn't matter if it's, oh my gosh, drunkenism. Alcoholism, I guess, is a better word for it. If it's addiction, if it's sexual addiction, if it's pornography, if it's brokenness, there's no place that is too dark that God won't reach down and grab you and pull you up to the light. Nowhere. We live on a river, and this woods across the way was so thick. 17 years we've lived there, and all of a sudden they bring in this company that, I don't know, timbers it or something. And what they do is they take out all these trees. I saw all these red or orange boughs around all these trees. I'm like, what's happening? And Rand's like, oh, they're going to take all that big growth out and they're going to mill it out. They're going to sell it. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then the woods got real ugly. Like, oh, it's a mess. And then all of a sudden I looked over across the river and I saw this tree. It's probably only that big around. And he's going straight up. And then all of a sudden, yink, yink, yink. I'm like, what in the world? I've never seen a tree grow like that. Because there were bigger trees around it. And it had to find its way to the light. Come on. What I'm trying to tell you is that it doesn't matter. Your need for the light never changes. Never changes, no matter how old, no matter how thick, no matter how big, no matter how many rings of life of maturity you have. Your life with Christ never stops seeking the light. This sapling, when it was little, knew that it could not survive without the light. And something so small just began to shine. He's living his best life right now. There ain't nothing around him taking his light. He's going to be the largest, crookedest tree you've ever saw. But he's a testament to what reaching for the light can do. Church, don't be ashamed of the crooked place. Just reach for the light. And let it be what you need. And hang on and don't let go. Never stop seeking the light. Never think you've arrived in knowledge. Never think you've matured past the point that you need more light. Until I go home to be with Jesus and see the greatest light, I'm never going to stop looking and reaching and grasping and speaking and talking and worshiping the light. If you would, stand to your feet this morning. Father, we just come before you today. And God, I don't know why this message at Christmas, except the fact that you came to save us. Not just save us from sin, but God, to save us from this dark world and the ruler of it. But God, we still got to walk through it. We still have to go through it. But we want to do it following you and the darkness to never get us. I'd like to lead us all in a prayer today. And it's going to be a prayer of repentance. So if you don't want to repent, don't pray it. That's where I'm going to lead you. Father, there's dark inside of me. I'm reaching for the light. God, I want no darkness inside of me. Search me, know me, and dig it out, God. Help me. Surround me with people who won't let me live in darkness, who won't allow me to be a Pharisee, who won't allow me with those dark opinions. But God will lead me in the way of the light. I denounce the devil. And I accept you, Jesus. Lead me and guide me. I'm getting on the highway and going your way. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Church, now if you're here today for the first time and you came out on this snowy day and you said that prayer, then I'm asking that you come down and tell one of our prayer team that you accepted Christ as your Savior today and that you want to be led by Him. Because we want to help you walk through the rest of that part with you. There's a discipleship process that needs to happen. There's some things that we need to help you with, and we want to do that. But church, I know there's a lot of you going through some things. Today, I want to end the service praying one for another. I want you praying one for another. And I'm not saying you got to throw out all your laundry list if that's not what you want to do, but I'm saying that I know there's immediate needs that are facing some of you today. And I would love for you to care for one another, if you would today, and just lift each other up in this season and be mindful. Be mindful. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I'm the only one that feels this way. I could walk out of 2025 and never look back. Never look back. Never look back. It's a hard year. It's been trying. He's tried my faith. But I know that I trust him more today than I ever did in 2024. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful in all things. Church, find something to be thankful for in your prayer group today. All right? Pray. I love you. Be blessed. Be safe going home. And we will see you on Wednesday night. Love you.
Separates me from you.